Hello, and welcome back to Surgery 101, the podcast series brought to you with the help of the Department of Surgery at the University of Alberta and our partners at Covidien. This week is sadly the last in our series of five episodes brought to us by the letter P, looking at common problems. This week is sadly the last of our five short episodes from medical student Alexei Milman, brought to us by the letter P. Each episode has focused on a common problem with the penis. So far, we've looked at phimosis and paraphimosis, and then penile fracture, and last week, Peyronie's disease. This week, we're finishing off with priapism. So, let's see if it's possible to have too much of a good thing, here on Surgery 101.
Hello, I'm Alexei Milman. Today will be another episode brought to you by the letter P, priapism. We will go over the definition, etiology, presentation, and management of priapism. Priapism is generally defined as a persistent erection lasting longer than 4 hours, in the absence of sexual arousal. The erection is limited to the cavernosal bodies, while the corpus spongiosum and the glans penis remain relatively flaccid. The most common complication of priapism is erectile dysfunction. Early recognition and treatment are the best ways to prevent this complication. There are two types of priapism, ischemic or low-flow priapism, and non-ischemic or high-flow priapism. Ischemic priapism is much more common than non-ischemic priapism and is a urological emergency. Ischemic priapism results when there is reduced or absent cavernosal blood flow. Blockage of venous drainage creates a buildup of old blood and prevents fresh blood from entering the cavernosal bodies, similar to compartment syndrome in other areas of the body. This backup of blood causes hypoxia and acidosis, thus leading to ischemia. Non-ischemic priapism results when there is an unregulated increase in blood flow to the penis. Venous outflow is not affected, and normal tissue oxygenation is maintained. It's important to consider the differential for causes of priapism to guide your history taking. Priapism can be divided into primary and secondary. Primary priapism is idiopathic in nature and accounts for more than half of all cases. There are many causes of secondary priapism. One common classification is the following. 1. Thromboembolic. 2. Neurogenic. 3. Medication-induced. 4. Recreational drug-induced. And 5. Traumatic. Thromboembolic causes that should be considered include sickle cell disease, leukemia, infectious states, and dialysis. Neurogenic causes include spinal cord injury and autonomic neuropathy. Many medications have been linked to priapism. Two important causes are intracavernosal vasoactive drug injections for the treatment of erectile dysfunction and trazodone, an antidepressant. The most common recreational drugs causing priapism are alcohol and cocaine. Trauma to the penis or perineum may result in a cavernosal artery laceration or an arteriovenous fistula. This is linked to non-ischemic or high-flow priapism, while the other causes mentioned are generally of ischemic priapism. Patients with priapism usually present to the emergency department. It is important to determine which type of priapism the patient is presenting with, as the treatments are quite different. The presenting symptoms differ slightly between ischemic and non-ischemic types. Non-ischemic priapism generally presents with chronic, well-tolerated tumescence without complete rigidity. As mentioned earlier, a history of perineal trauma should raise the suspicion of non-ischemic priapism. Conversely, ischemic priapism generally presents with pain and fully rigid cavernosal bodies. Non-ischemic, high-flow priapism is often self-limiting and not an emergency. If the priapism does not resolve, arterial embolization may be considered to stop the unregulated increased blood flow to the penis. Treatment of ischemic priapism, on the other hand, follows a stepwise approach. Step one is analgesia. This is a painful condition, and a dorsal penile block should be used. In some cases, the block will be sufficient to treat the unwanted erection. Step two is needle aspiration. This should be used to decompress the cavernosal bodies. It can be repeated until the penis is flaccid or no further dark, deoxygenated blood is being aspirated out of the cavernosal bodies. If aspiration is unsuccessful, step three is phenylephrine injections. Phenylephrine can be injected into the corpora cavernosa every 3 to 5 minutes for up to 1 hour. If there is no response to the phenylephrine injections, step four is to create a shunt between the corpora cavernosa and the corpus spongiosum. This creates a low resistance route for the blood to return to the venous circulation. Management of ischemic priapism should also include treatment of any underlying causes. While usually not sufficient alone, this helps to ensure successful acute treatment and prevent recurrence. In summary, priapism is an erection that lasts more than 4 hours in the absence of sexual arousal. Ischemic priapism, which is characterized by pain and fully rigid corpora cavernosa, is a urological emergency. Ischemic priapism can be treated by analgesia, needle aspiration of stagnant blood, injection of phenylephrine, and if necessary, creation of a shunt between the corpora cavernosa and spongiosum. Without prompt treatment, ischemic priapism has a high risk of leading to permanent erectile dysfunction. That's it for our final episode of Problems with the Penis. I hope you enjoyed this special series of urology-themed episodes brought to you by the letter P.
Thanks, Alexi. I think this series of short episodes about urology has been just great, and it shows you what you can achieve on a surgical education elective with our team. If you're listening to this and you're thinking you might be interested in coming to do an education elective with us, please drop us a line at surgerypodcast@gmail.com or else connect with us through Twitter or Facebook or look at the electives page on the surgery101.org website. Before I go, I should point out that Alexi has done some excellent notes for each of these 5 episodes, which are available to subscribers through the Surgery 101 Notes program. You can access that through our website or at surgery101.libsyn.com. So thanks for listening, and we'll see you back here next week for something new on Surgery 101.